These are wonderful days for us as we are feasting on the Word of God and learning from the God's servants the meaning, the purpose, and the urgency of reconciliation. It's indeed time that we look at our own selves. In the light of the changing world, Reverend Arthur brought to us a picture of loving Heavenly Father rushing towards His Son who was lost to bring Him back in His home, to give Him the place of love, honor, respect. Dr. Warwick spoke about living every moment, a life that is totally committed like a dying seed to bear more fruit for Christ. Only purpose of a seed is to bear fruit. He spoke about total surrender, complete yielding, complete giving for one purpose, to fulfill God's mission through the life that God has given us. Painful, totally denying self, and then experiencing a new meaning, new purpose in the life. As in Christ, as we have been referring to these verses, that God is reconciling the world to Himself. And the foundation is God Himself. The initiative is of God's. If you refer back to our theology day, not all of us were there. But we struggle, try to understand. The one who was offended took the initiative to even pay the price, to reconcile the lost world, the rebellious world, the enemies to Himself, by sacrificing His own Son so that He could make the enemies His sons. Mother Teresa of Calcutta is known for loving the destitute, the rejected, left on the street corners, platforms to die. Because she saw in each of those persons, each of the children, each of those destitutes, Christ. Having a new outlook for people, having a new perspective to look at people is what identifies church, identifies the missionaries, identifies the evangelist, that they have a different perspective to look at the masses. As you saw Indian delegation here on the platform, many of us came from a respectable, honorable backgrounds. To say one of them, myself, probably one who was rejected by the religious community, not even worthy to hear the recitation of any scripture, even heard by mistake, was supposed to pour a boiling lead into his ears. That was the state, how the world looked at the people who are rejected by the hierarchies. The 65% of people who are supposed to not to be worthy of human salvation. But when the missionaries came, as we sang in the song, of course, we go back, our history of missionaries go back to St. Thomas, who came to India and preached gospel to the people in South India. Some of the Christians in India now even claim they are called St. Thomas Christians. But the transformation of India that we see the numbers, even though it's very, very small percentage of 2.3 or 2.4%, in the population of 1.2, 1.3 billion people, it's a good number. But not strong enough. And so we are here with the passion to have a new outlook, to have a new perspective for our own people, so that we can continue to make this gospel transformative, make this gospel effective, make this gospel bringing reconciliation between people and people, where we experience the division between languages, between states, between caste and religions. Dr. Warwick made reference to the nationalities and people group that we represent. And in those outside of this hall, probably they are still enemies of each other. The violence, the hatred, the displacement, the crimes, the degradation, the dehumanization that we are experiencing and seeing all around us is because that they do not share the same perspective that we share here in this hall today. As we look at the Bible references that give us the foundation that brings us on the same level to make us brothers and sisters, to make us part of one family, is the longing of every human heart. But when we allow self-centeredness, when we allow that makes me proud of myself by putting somebody down, which is representing in this verse 16, that earlier even Christ was looked at from that perspective by the people who wanted to rule the world, to have the Messiah come and establish his kingdom over the whole world. He came from a different perspective. He came from a different realm. He came from a world above this world. He came from the Father who created the world, who looked at the whole mankind with the same love that he had for his son. And to reconcile this world which was divided, which was hating, which was trying to bring the self-centeredness and selfishness to the top of everything that they could think of themselves. In fact, when we look to India, 33 million gods and goddesses. And probably they are multiplied manifold now, representing the man's desire to be God himself, which represented even in the very first couple that God created, Adam and Eve, to become God for themselves, which alienated man from God, man from man, and man from nature. But in Christ and his death, this dividing wall between God and man, man and man, man and nature, is completely destroyed, completely taken away. And Christ comes to us. Christ comes to each one of us. As Paul says, that he wants to be in us. And he calls us to be in Christ. In the Hindu philosophy, It is preached, it is taught, it is expected. When they bow to each other saying namaste, they expect that you are a divine part in you, that I bow down to you and accept you as another divine person. This reality that we as Christians are talking about, of reconciling with God and allowing God to come in our heart and our life and making my life totally surrendered, totally dedicated, totally given for the purposes of God, becomes an instrument of God like the bamboo Anna Marie spoke about, bringing life, bringing healing, bringing sustenance to each one of us. To have this new perspective in Christ was like a miracle that Christ performed, that we read in book of Gospel of Luke chapter 13, 11 to 17 verses about a woman who was sick for 18 years. She was bent over. And her perspective on life, her perspective of the world was only looking at her own feet. She could not look up. For 18 years, she lived that sickness of bent over. We cannot stand for 2 minutes in that position. For 18 years, to have the perspective that's only looking at our own feet. Christ heals her, straightens her up. She gets a new perspective. She's able to see the new world. She's able to see everybody in the face. And able to recognize maybe her own people in a different form. Earlier probably she knew people only by their feet, because she could not lift her head to see how the face looked. But now she could look at face and know how Samuel looks, how John looks, how Vijay looks, how Rajiv looks. The different perspective. That only Christ can do in our own lives also. Just 100 years ago, part of Northeast India was mostly tribal, hill people, totally naked, and headhunters. With the gospel that came and penetrated in the jungles and mountains of Northeast India, where people were afraid by seeing the heads of people left on the fences, the entrance of the village. If you go now, you see crosses on every mountain, churches. On Sunday, you can see from every mountain songs, hallelujah, praise the Lord coming. The transformation from headhunters to people who sing and praise God and accept and embrace each other happens when the hearts are changed and transformed, looking at Christ. When gospel came to India through missionaries, as we sang, the casteism, the untouchability, the deprivation of the untouchables was so bad that even one person's shadow falling another person defiled that person. The footprints of the untouchables were not supposed to be left unswept on the areas where the other caste people lived. But when gospel came, people found in Christ a new identity. The missionaries looked at the untouchables through different perspective, who were dehumanized, no people. They had no salvation, no God, no religion. There was no hope. But the missionaries came and found in these people image of Christ that needed to be redeemed. Now is our time. The times have changed. The mission challenges are different. The language has changed. The lifestyles have changed. The dresses and cultures and clothes have changed. But the solution to the human problems, the answer to the human cry, is still the same. And to have this perspective changed in our time, in our world, is a desperate need. For the church, Church of Christ, Christians, you and me, who call up ourselves Christians, for us is the challenge. For us is the call to have new perspective now. Just last month, we were in Kansas City. A friend of mine drove me past from our college church to one small place. We had gone for dinner. And we passed by another church. And the label on the church was Islamic Study Center. And this is not unique, this is probably unique in US, but in the Christian Europe, it's very common. In Bristol, I had privilege to visit. There was a cross on the building, but the board was Hindu prayer temple. Another Christian compound was again Islamic Study Center. There are many churches which are ready to be sold. We from India, South Asia, some part of other world areas where church is continuously growing. But the non-Christian world needs a new perspective. To look at our own self. Because you cannot look at other person and see Christ in that person until and unless we have Christ in our hearts. Unless my words and my thinking and my life is not transformed by Christ and His love, my reconciliation with Christ is not done, I am not able to present that Christ to anybody else. We have produced thousands of Christian broadcasts, 24 hours radio programs, 24 hours television programs. There are hundreds of evangelists. There's tons of literature. There are so many apps, free Bibles, gospel messages. Everything is saturated with the Christian message, and it's great. We praise the Lord for the largest one religious body in the whole of world is Christians. But still, the cry of the people is for Christ-likeness. And that new perspective world can get from your life and my life. That's what this verse is referred to. That if you are in Christ, we are a new creation. If you are in Christ, we are a new creation. And only Christ can make that happen. How does this happen in our world? Buildings have not given us answer. Programs have not given us the answer. Literature has not given us the answer. Mahatma Gandhi said to Indians when Dr. Stanley Jones asked him, "What message do you have for Indian Christians?" And he said, "If the Christians lived little more like Christ, the Indian people will flock to their feet. If we are little more like Christ." Paul says, "I am in the pains of childbirth for you, so that Christ may be formed in you." To have that new perspective, Christ has to be formed in my life, formed in your life, so that when people look at me, when I speak word to the people, they not only hear my words, but they hear words of Christ. When they look at my life and my lifestyle, they would want to come to me, want to come to the church. There is a movement within India. Hundreds of people are becoming Christian, but they don't want to come to church. They love Christ. The beauty of Christ, the love of Christ, the message of Christ is so attractive to them, but sometimes not Christians. And I'm so proud to be Nazarene, because we say, like Christ, transforming our world like Christ, for Christ, in Christ, making Christ-like disciples through our own life, life of holiness that we live day to day. And this can be done. This is what God has promised. This is what God is doing, and He will continue to do as He reconciles the whole world to Himself. To have that perspective, we need to be straightened up in Christ. In book of Revelation, we read, book of Revelation chapter 21. This is the final reconciliation that we read that God is about to do. And for Him, this is, He says, "I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end." For God, this is very quick. For Him, it is so close that He is up to accomplish this final reconciliation of the world. And what He's going to do? Book of Revelation chapter 21. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" The new perspective we can get is from Christ Himself. And when Christ came to die on for you and me, He came with that perspective. He came with the perspective of new heaven and new earth. And He was willing to pay the price of His own life, His own blood. He was willing to sacrifice on the cross so that He can prepare you and me for this new heaven and new earth. And the same calling is yours and mine. To look at each other with a new perspective. Saying, "This is a child of God. This is a brother for me and sister for me in Christ. Because He died and He rose up again." Paul says, "You have also risen with Christ. And now your life is hidden in Christ. So no longer you, but He is seen." And when He appears, you will appear with Him again. Which perspective are we holding? What is guiding us? What is keeping us looking down? The world need Christ. They are waiting for Him. And He has said, "You are my witnesses." With His power, with His presence, with us, He said, "I will be with you till the end of the age. I will never leave you nor forsake you." With that new power, new commission, we need to go out in the world making Christ-like disciples. May the Lord bless us.